Good morning. It's so fabulous to be worshipping together, isn't it? And to be back together again in this way as we start worshipping together. I thought I ought to introduce myself for those people that haven't seen me over the last year or so. My name is Jonathan Cole, John Cole. I'm just approaching the end of a 35-year career in the army, and I'm in the Royal Signals, which does telecoms and IT. And I've been asked today to talk about Ephesians 6, 10 to 20, equipped for battle. I'm not sure if it's because today was the day that I was available on the rota or because of the military connections that Jean asked me to speak today, but it's my privilege to do so. There's a real change in language in this part of Ephesians, I find. There's a real marked shift in the tone and message. And what I'd like to do is talk about three key points today. Firstly, that there is a spiritual battle, so let us be alert. Secondly, that there is good news. There are some components to our armour that we can put on to equip ourselves. And then thirdly, we are called to cover our lives and those of others with prayer. I'll spend most of my time on the second of those three points. So there's some military language in here, isn't there? Be strong, stand, be alert. This is a marked shift, as I said, in the tone and the message. Earlier in Ephesians, Paul has reminded us of God's blessings and Christ's work for us. He's called for unity in the oneness of the church, and he's given instructions on how to live, whether that's between a wife and a husband, a child and parent, a slave and servant. So why is there this marked shift? I think Paul is trying to make sure we understand that we are in a spiritual battle. And we don't like to always talk about this, but the devil does exist. It says here that he schemes. Older translations talks about wiles, he wiles. But there's a, to me, cunning, sinister, serpent-like approach to this spiritual battle. It's not what in the military, we would call a full frontal attack. But really, it's about principalities and powers in the heavenly realms finding ways in an insipid way to attack us. John Stott wrote, when talking of principalities and powers, that, I quote, "These texts do not deny our Lord's decisive conquest of the principalities and powers, but as usurpers, they have not conceded defeat nor been destroyed, so they continue to exercise considerable power." So I think that's why we are called to be alert, to stand, to be strong. Otherwise, I think we risk a naive interpretation of all that has preceded in Ephesians. This is not always easy, and life is not always easy, but this is brought to our attention. So that was really my first point. The second point then is there is good news. And here we have talked about six key components to our armour. And I will go through those in a moment very quickly. But note here in the scripture, it talks of putting on your full armour. This isn't a pick and mix. I think that we are called to put on all of our armour. And that armor really is against protecting us from those ways that we may be attacked in this spiritual battle. What are our vulnerable points? What are our weak points? Paul would have been very familiar with the Roman soldier. In fact, he was probably chained to one as he was writing this. And although that soldier may not have been wearing his battle armor, Paul would have understood the sorts of equipment that the soldier wears to protect the head, the heart, the groin. And even today's dismounted soldier in our times, there are similarities to here. We have body armor with Kevlar plates rather than bronze and iron. We have all sorts of clever electronic measures to shield us from devices that might blow up. And we have all sorts of digital devices like GPS trackers. But broadly speaking, the dismounted soldier of today is also wearing equipment to protect the head, the heart, and even the groin as our counter-explosive specialists in particular have to protect themselves. So there is a sense of perpetual battle here, and let us now think about how we deal with that. We firstly talked about the belt of truth, or in older translations, it talks about the girdle and girding your loins for battle. Today's soldier wears this webbing with all sorts of pouches to keep your equipment, your battle equipment in. And we are trained and taught that you keep it all tight, to keep it all tightened up to you, tucked in. And I think what we're being told here is to wear the belt of truth tightly, stay tight to the truth. In John 8, Jesus talks about the devil being the father of lies. And I respect, I reflect on times in my life where I may have felt lies said over me, or lies that I believe that are not even said over me. So let us think about the truths that God says, God's promises of truth. And as I say, wear them tight, seek that truth. I think we shouldn't just seek the easy truths. We should also seek those truths that are hard to understand. And here I think of Jacob wrestling. And maybe we need to wrestle as well as we tighten that belt of truth. Secondly, there's the breastplate of righteousness. And of course, righteousness means made right. So what is it that we need to do to make ourselves right in our relationship with God? Because I think the ultimate protection of our heart, because of course the breastplate would have very much focused on that part of the body, the ultimate protection of our heart is a righteous relationship of God. So what are our vulnerabilities? What do we love? What does our heart desire? But I think ultimately, if our heart desires the goodness of God, that is the breastplate of righteousness. Thirdly, we are told that we should have feet fitted with the gospel of peace. Now, in my view, the human condition is one of anxiety and distraction. So often I reflect on myself of periods of anxiety and distraction. But we're told here to stand firm. And in fact, the word stand is used four times. Now, to be at peace, and peace in Greek is eirene, and the translation for that means oneness or wholeness. Now, I think that oneness or wholeness for me is through a living relationship with God. And isn't it amazing how we stand in that peace? And then even when we do communion later, we will be praying to each other, may peace be with you. What a powerful prayer that is, to stand firm. Fourthly, there's the shield of faith. Now, the shields those days would have been made of wood with linen on them and bound with iron, and then they would have had animal hide on the outside, which would have been dipped into the water to resist the fire from arrows that had been dipped in pitch and lit before being fired, these fiery arrows. So we think about what fiery arrows might be fired at our faith, and let us use the shield of faith to protect ourselves. I think perhaps you could take this image further and think about dipping our shield into God's word and how we relate with others. For me, our house group, many of whom are here today, are able to help me to build my faith, to build that shield of faith. Fifthly, the helmet of salvation. And I think, the helmet here now is focused on protecting our heads, of course. And I think our brains or our thoughts are in many ways a battlefield. And I think we need to think about how we protect our thoughts. In John 10, verse 10, we're told that the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. So let us think about our salvation. So I think salvation is actually a conscious decision. It is a decision of the mind to choose, to place our trust in God's authority and to accept his death and resurrection. And then finally, there is the sword of the Spirit. Now, interestingly, this is the only part of the soldier's equipment here, which is both defensive and offensive. The sword is defensive and offensive. What we're told here is that the sword of the Spirit is God's word. Now, we think about Luke 4, where Jesus was tempted by the devil three times. Each time he responded with God's word. So really, in many ways, I think these six pieces of equipment I've tried to analyse and tried to think about what they mean to us as Christians, and tried to think about the parallels even with today's soldier. I think about the many ways that we are told to be alert, to be strong and to stand, because God has equipped us with his truth, his righteousness, his peace, faith, salvation and his word. So then thirdly and finally of my 3 points, really having described to you the spiritual battle, and then secondly some of those pieces of equipment to equip us for battle, we need to also look at what is written about towards the end of this passage. And I think we're asked to cover our lives and those of others with prayer. In many ways, I think Paul is asking people to think about how prayer can transcend our lives. Notice how prayer is not actually one of the six pieces of equipment. To me, it seems to be almost more than that. It's not a piece of armour. It's perhaps about practicing with those pieces of armour. And if I was to again try and draw a military image from my experience, often people ask us in the army, what do you do when you're not in operations? Well, the answer often is that we get our equipment and our people and we practice, we put it all together, we do exercises. And maybe that's what prayer is. It's about exercising all of those gifts, using that truth, the righteousness, the peace, the faith, salvation, and God's word, which is spirit. So Paul focuses on prayer and says to do so in the spirit. So there's a powerful combination here of the spirit, the word, and prayer to cover our lives and the lives of others to protect us in this spiritual battle. So to conclude, I think what we're being asked to consider here is, where are our vulnerabilities in this spiritual battle? Be alert to them and wear all of the armour to protect ourselves. And once we wear it, we can then enact our armoured selves through prayer. And this will protect us from the devil's schemes and enable us to fight as fearless ambassadors. I'm going to finish with a quote from William Gurnall, who is a Puritan pastor of a church at Lavenham in Suffolk. And in 1655, he published a work, The Christian in Complete Armour. And he wrote, "In heaven we shall appear not in armour, but in robes of glory. But here it is to be worn night and day. We must walk, work, and sleep in it." So friends, thank you for listening. Please remember, there is a battle. We are equipped, and prayer is our action. Amen.